Hello, everyone. This is Rusty Gilligan from Mac in Trouble, and you're listening to Superheroes Speak.
When creative forces collide, they do great things. Head Shrinkers Press believes in the fusion of creative forces, the typed electrons and ballpoint scrawls that fuel our writing, every stylus that glides across glass, every pen trailing ribbons of India ink, the explosion of colors splashed freshly on finished pages. When those forces come together, they make great comics. They make Head Shrinkers Press comics. Every day, we wake up with only one thing in mind, to bring you the absolute best titles our team can create. From the outermost reaches of the galaxy to the Badlands of the West, inside every Head Shrinkers title, you're sure to be going on an adventure you won't soon forget. Let us show you what happens when creative forces collide. Visit us right now at www.headshrinkerspress.com or come chat with us on our Facebook page. Head Shrinkers Press, where creative forces collide.
Warning, the following podcast you're about to listen to contains spoilers for the movie Deadpool. Also, since we are talking about the movie Deadpool, we will be using possibly adult language and describing adult situations. You've been warned.
That's what she said.
Welcome to the continued podcast adventures of three opinionated guys with mics and too much free time. Strong enough to stop a speeding movie rumor, more powerful than a bad comic book event. Able to waste hours of time asking stupid questions to people who have better things to do. It's Dave, Ben, and John. It's Superhero Speak.
Hey everyone, you're listening to Superhero Speak, and I'm your host Dave.
And Ben.
And John.
And Zach.
And Zach, yes!
Yeah!
Ah, we have a full boat this week, yes!
Yes, it's normally a three-seater boat, though.
I know, we're sinking, we're bailing water quickly. we might have to kick someone overboard, John.
Hey, just because I'm a curmudgeon.
So we're obviously here to talk about Deadpool, and yes. And I am going to start off, I'm going to go out on a limb here, guys. I am going to say possibly the best superhero movie of 2016, and maybe even the decade.
Wow. That's a wide shot there. I would say so far, it is one of the better ones this decade. It was really well done. I would say the only reason I wouldn't go so far as to say that myself is because it definitely was on the raunchy side. It definitely had some graphic side to it, and it's not for everybody as a result. So it's I really enjoyed it, but it's not for everyone.
How about your opening shot, John?
First time YouTubers could have done a better job. I have not seen so much bathroom humor trying to cover such a weak plot since drama club in high school.
And Zach?
Well, I strongly disagree. I think that it was as close to getting source material right as anything we've seen in a while. And that's not to say that it was, you know, I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean, you know, it knew exactly what it was, and it hit it. It nailed it flawlessly. So I thought it was phenomenal.
Right. I mean, I think something everyone needs to keep in mind when they're watching this movie is it's something Ryan Reynolds has wanted to do for 11 years. He tried to get this movie made and put out. And when the leaked test footage came out and Fox got all this pressure to make the movie, they were finally like, okay, fine, you can have the movie, but we're only giving you, you know, $50 million to make this movie. When they're spending $300 on all the other franchises. So you know, going into this, that this is a labor of love. This is made by people who love the character and want to tell a story that they feel is true to the character's spirit and to the spirit of the comic books. And I think they knocked it out of the park on that.
The other thing you have to remember is that the bathroom is right out the door and around the corner from where you're sitting.
No, see, the irony is, because of how little money they gave to this movie, it has knocked records out of the park on how profitable this movie has been compared to other superhero movies. It has blasted the box office in a time when usually there are not box office hits. And, you know, despite your curmudgeonliness, John, I think the reality of public opinion is going to prove you wrong.
Reality's a interesting thing to bring up when dealing with Deadpool. But besides that, the fact that there were only three sets and two of them were green screen in the movie. I mean, come on, you know, you can do better than that.
Listen, a story is more than the sum of its parts. The story is not just about the destination, it's about the journey. And what made this movie great was the journey, because every moment of it was fun. It doesn't matter that the story was a fairly simple origin story that really only had, you know, a certain arc to it. It was a fun journey every moment of the way. There was fighting, there was cursing, there was everything that is Deadpool. Like, honestly, I think this movie was better than any Deadpool comic that has been created to date.
Oh, when's the last?
And I read a lot of Deadpool comics.
If it was so close to the source material, why did he run out of bullets? When is the last time we ran out of bullets? Come on.
Budget cuts. Didn't they cut a whole bunch of scenes, like gunfight scenes, because they were trying to cut huge, you know, expensive scenes at the last minute? So I thought that was part of that.
They had to cut like $7 million budget last minute.
And I kind of feel like it was done on purpose. Like, they were making a joke about it.
Right.
That both times he was getting into gunfights, he forgot his ammunition. Mm-hmm. Like, that was a joke. That was the humor. Like,
but it's also a showcase, because it shows you that despite that, you know, the joke of his lack of planning, he comes out on top. He's got the skills to make it work. And he does. And not only that, but make jokes both verbally and physically in the process. Like, the whole thing with spelling it out for him towards the end, I thought was brilliant.
Yep.
Or just the 12 bullet thing.
Yeah,
you know?
That was pretty cool.
Yes. Like the whole, I mean, you know, there's a way to look at this is that there were two major action sequences in the movie, and the whole movie was kind of built around them, you know, because I have a feeling they went, we have this much money, we can probably do this and this, and now let's make the rest of the movie work around it, you know. So you get a lot of flashbacks, you get a lot of, you know, origin story where nothing's going on, but they intermix it with, you know,
the parallel narrative, which is not an uncommon trope. Like, that does happen sometimes, but it's they used it well, like having the, you know, here you start off in the present moment moving forward, but we're also going to parallel in the backstory and flashback.
But they kept stopping the action. It was giving me mental whiplash.
But some of those were brilliant stoppages of action. And, like, when they stopped Deadpool, like, jumping through midair, you know, and shooting, and then switched to the action figure from X-Men Origins, posed the exact same way, sitting on his coffee table. That was a brilliant cut.
Nah. The scene changes from Highlander are brilliant and award-winning. Okay. This was just...
Have you ever read a Deadpool comic? See, the thing you have to understand about Deadpool is he's insane. And that's how he thinks. And they write a lot of the comics that way. Where he'll be flying through the scene and all of a sudden he'll think of something else. And they'll cut to an image of, you know, someone else flying through the scene the same way he does. Like, that was all lifted right from the comic books. It wasn't...
Yeah, I mean, there have been times he's literally had multiple inner monologues conflicting with each other in the comics.
Yes, he has multiple voices in his head that... fight with each other.
Well, then he should be on Prozac. I mean, I don't know. I use Deadpool comics as filler for, you know, packing material for the rest of my comics, the real ones. Well, so I'm just, but this movie was like, man, you open the doors and suddenly you feel the need to relocate your kid like an extra 20 meters away from wherever this thing is playing, because it's just the bathroom humor just keeps stopping and having to cringe.
But see, that's what... No, see, we're fans, John. We're true fans of this, and that's what we went there for. And everybody who knows Deadpool, that's what they went there for. The things you're panning, the things you're knocking down, are the things that made this movie great. I took my nephew to see this, and I don't think he stopped laughing the entire time we were there. And he's a teenage boy, and he loved it because that's who it was made for.
It was made for
man-childs like us to enjoy the shit out of it.
I was smiling from the moment you saw the coffee cup with Rob L. written on it, because it was a shout-out to Rob Liefeld, who created Deadpool. Like,
yeah.
And then the rest of the opening credits were all, you know, a joke about the types of characters that are in every single superhero movie. Like,
which was brilliant, because it told you right off what you're getting into. So even if you're not familiar with it, even if you go into it somehow completely ignorant and expect it to be another superhero movie, right away they're informing you this is the exact opposite. It is the antithesis of all of that. And here you go. We have an all CGI character. We have a gratuitous cameo. What were the other ones in there? They were all, I mean, so I, and it's
a hot chick.
When you're sitting in, chick. Yeah, you're sitting in the audience and everyone, it takes them a couple minutes to really get it. They're like, is this for real? Like, they're really doing this? And then, like, 5 minutes into it, everyone's just laughing nonstop from that point. Once they finally accept what it is, that it's so profoundly different from any other superhero movie we've seen, then they're just totally on board and just losing their minds the whole time. It was, oh, man, I loved it from the get-go.
The producers were a bunch of douches, I believe.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was so good that Ryan Reynolds is definitely going to make a second one. Oh, wait, that's right. He said he was never making another superhero movie again. I wonder what made him.
He's going to make another one of these. It's going to be awesome. I'm looking forward to more.
I think he wasn't going to make another superhero movie because the last big superhero movie he was in was Green Lantern.
Right.
And
there's several that put bad taste in his mouth. I can understand.
Okay, John.
But if you want an idea of what could be possible, Green Lantern was just a masterwork compared to this movie.
Okay, no. Hold on. Green Lantern is horrible. And why was Green Lantern horrible? Something that you yourself, John O'Grady, complain about on this podcast all the time. They were worried about hitting the four quadrants with that movie. So,
don't mix Star Trek into this.
You know what I'm saying? They're trying to appeal to a larger audience. They end up losing any kind of real Green Lantern story in it, and they come up with a piece of crap and end up giving Ryan Reynolds an animated green suit.
Right. Well, and also they really overstuffed that movie. Like, it was, they tried to do too much in too little time.
Yeah.
By introducing, having multiple villains that he had to face off with, you know, allies that were becoming villains. Like trying to tell too much in that story all at once. And that was part, really one of the biggest downfalls. They tried to make up for their lack of strong writing with too much content.
So you're saying that this movie is great because of the complete lack of content. I agree. There you go.
What lack of content? And it was an origin story. What did you want from an origin story?
We got a solid origin. It was complete and it was full of jokes and it was awesome. And I loved all of the references to where he was making fun of pretty much everything else. Like, for instance, you know, when Xavier was mentioned, he made a comment about McAvoy or Stewart.
Oh yes. My god, I almost fell out of my seat. It was amazing.
Oh my god, that had to have been the best joke, I think, in the whole movie.
Yeah, for sure.
Your universe confuses me.
But, and all the references, obviously all the references to Green Lantern, the you know, many references to Wolverine and all that stuff.
They weren't afraid to have Batman references in there.
No, yeah, they pretty much covered every base they could with the referential stuff.
Like when he comes home to Blind Al and he's like describing her as, you know, she's kind of like Robin except she's blind and blah blah blah. And I think she's in love with me. Well, wait, I think Robin's in love with Batman.
Yeah, it was funny. And just the whole tiny hand thing was just so wrong.
Oh my god. Oh,
no. I tried to get three different people to go see it with me again today and I failed miserably because most people work on Mondays. So yeah, I'm bumming hard tonight because I didn't get to see you a second time this weekend. But
yes, no, it was oh my god, it was just so funny.
Hello.
Even Microsoft doesn't like the movie.
Okay, all right. All right, hold on. So, John, Let me address a little bit of what I think your main concern with this movie is, the potty humor, right? I mean, I agree. If they had cleaned up some of the F-bombs, you know, taken out some of the nudity, which we would have lost the amazing Stan Lee cameo, and dialed back the toilet humor, you know, we could have gotten a good PG-13 movie that would have appealed to a larger audience.
Don't forget the bondage.
But yeah, International Women's Day had to be celebrated.
That would have, but it would have got, you know, we got a PG-13, so we could have had more people come see it. It could have made more money, right? But then it wouldn't have been as good as the movie was.
That's true, and even yeah, there's been praise for that because it has sort of broken ground with the whole R rating thing. Like, there's a lot of people who are incorrectly stating that it's like the first superhero R rated superhero movie ever. There have been plenty. But it is groundbreaking in that it's the first successful R-rated movie that the superhero genre.
That's not true. It's,
like, mainstream blockbuster successful. This is financially and critically successful in a way that none of the others were.
I'm looking up that list you sent me because, you know, that list had plenty of them that I recognized that. Just you wait, I'm gonna get
there,
you.
There was.
Give me five minutes and, like, you know, time to use the bathroom and I'll be right
300,
back.
Which is a comic book movie, made $200 million while it was out in the theater. And I believe Wanted and I can't remember the other one made $190 million. So
Kick-Ass did well too.
Go ahead, look up. Look, you'll be shocked how much these movies actually made.
In a long run. Deadpool has already been more than profitable in 3 days.
They've made it's made 150 domestically and 220, I think, worldwide.
It's only right. Because it's riding on the wave of the Avengers and all of these Marvel properties that are coming out.
Nope.
No.
I disagree. Yes. It's not riding on any of that. It's because, for one, it's not actually story-wise connected to any of it. The only thing it's even loosely connected to is the X-Men franchise, which I think by having the version of Colossus that they had, it sort of kept it a little bit distant. And using very, you know, D-level characters that you probably won't see anytime in the X-Men. It's very much its own thing, you know, and from a studio that a lot of people are counting out of this argument.
Are you saying Negasonic Teenage Warhead is not going to be in the next X-Men movie? Come on!
How about a Colossus that can change form, for crying out loud? I mean, geez, they even got that wrong.
Well, yeah, I did find it kind of weird that he never would turn back to, you know, flesh. Like, he was metal the entire time.
Well, it's hard to change from CGI to, you know, human form.
The reason that they did that, see, you guys, you have to do your research.
I don't do research.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I don't need a pamphlet explaining things to me before I watch a movie.
I can't think of the actor's name. The original actor who played Colossus in the X-Men movies.
Mm-hmm. Saw the script and decided to sue?
They offered him the role and he turned it down. And since he turned it down, what they decided to do was create their own version of Colossus. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there was one guy who was walking around to be the caption motion capture guy, and then there was a different actor that did the voice.
Yeah.
So the idea was they could build a Colossus that was more true to the comic books than the Colossus you already had in the movies. So, you know, now I can't think of the actor's name. Jeez, is he going to come back now because the movie was a success?
And will he still be dubbed over if he does come back?
That's a good question.
Well, maybe the guy that did the motion capture can't actually do a good Russian accent.
Very few actors can.
Yes.
So here's the challenge, John, if you want to go on a research scavenger hunt. According to Rotten Tomatoes, Deadpool has an 84% tomato meter with an audience score of 95%. If you can find me one movie on this list that Dave sent out earlier that comes near those numbers, Then I'll give it some pause.
and the fact that Colossus and Teenage Warhead were the only two in the mansion, it was almost like they didn't have enough money to hire any of the X-Men.
That was a good joke too. That was a good one.
So I don't think there were any jokes that missed, like, everything the whole time. No. Every single joke was funny, and it's just remarkable because every single line was a joke.
Yeah. No, they had it from head to tail. It was well executed. I do have a concern, though, with this movie.
Yes.
So, this movie has definitely opened some eyes in Hollywood about the possibilities of these movies. Probably, you know, made people more willing to consider doing R-rated superhero movies now. And we may see more of that. So, here's my concern. And it's not completely original thought. I mean, James Gunn had talked about this today, about that the studios, the suits, will probably take the wrong message from it. And I think he's right to an extent. I'm concerned that they will take the wrong message from this, that they'll see this as the template of what they need to do to be successful, but take the wrong ingredients from it and start doing stupid things. Like, maybe their next attempt, you know, directly at Fox, maybe their next attempt at Fantastic Four will be an R-rated comedy.
Oh, God.
You've just
invalidated the entire reason of existence for this movie.
I honestly think...
I don't think there's any way they could make Fantastic Four worse. But you just...
I may have found
you
it.
Just pitched it.
Yes.
I honestly think you might find that, yes, at Fox. Again, with maybe the next version of Fantastic Four or some other properties they might have the rights to that they're not sure what to do with. And I think you could see this from Warner Brothers with DC characters they're not sure how to handle.
That's true. I could see that too. That like the Suicide Squad isn't quite there, but I'd imagine that they might see this as an opportunity. As a matter of fact, maybe they'll see this as an opportunity to revamp, add more jokes to Suicide Squad.
Well, and that, you know, it comes out. Well, I mean, I would imagine that the movie's complete at this point, but I could be wrong.
It's the studio is always willing to do stupid things like that.
Yes, I can just see it now. Just the Joker, you know, working in jokes about his dick size. That'd be just great, I'm sure.
Yes.
But I think what it should be taken away from this is, if they wanted to do a live action version of The Killing Joke, they can do it, and there's an audience for it if they do it, they're true to the source material.
And smart people will see that, but those are not the people that run studios.
Exactly.
And that's the concern. Like, I think I'm glad that this will lead to additional Deadpool movies, and maybe we'll finally see some version of X-Factor be created as a thing. Like, other, you know, the other things that they haven't really done with the X-Men franchise that they could now do, that this is now that this has opened some doors, I'm happy to see those things come to fruition if they let the right people continue to drive things, at least from a writing perspective and directing perspective.
Right. And to see them all become just potty joke vehicles, I mean,
they won't necessarily, you know. I don't think they'll all necessarily be that. Like, here's the thing. Like I said, the right people doing the right things. The reason that Deadpool is what it is because the people that wrote it, that directed it, you know, they knew what Deadpool needed to be. And this is exactly what Deadpool needed to be. This was it to the letter. And those people have a respect for the work. You know, if they have similar people who have respect for the work trying to adapt, you know, spin Deadpool into, you know, because Deadpool has been involved with X-Factor, making him involved with the team, they'll know to take that tone. Like, Deadpool will be this way and have the potty humor and be off color, but the rest of the team will try to be more be the more serious crew, and that'll make for an interesting you know, dichotomy, and that'll be good cinema. Like, that's the thing, that if it's just Fox saying let's go do more of this, then that's where it'll go down a bad path. But if they keep the right people, like if they keep these people who made this movie involved, I think there's an opportunity for good things to keep coming out of this.
Yeah, and I think I had a little bit more of an optimistic outlook for this movie's implications, although I think you raise a valid concern. I do think that they'll at least be, studio execs would at least be insightful enough to know that you can't make this particular format cookie cutter, because it would still cut out, or they'd still fear how many people it would cut out, or how big an audience it would cut out. But at least they see that this has its own value and can be duplicated, hopefully just within this franchise, as opposed to, like you said, taking it elsewhere. But I think what it does, too, on a larger level, is it sort of allays or maybe delays the fear of superhero fatigue, because it's so antithetical to all the superhero shows or movies that we've been seeing, and it pokes fun at those. So in a way, I'm talking about it in my YouTube channel this week, and I can't remember how I phrased it, but I think I said it aspirates the swollen ingrown hair that is superhero fatigue. Yeah, because it's you know, like, it sort of punctures that, because we're getting to a point where there's 8 to 10 to 12 superhero movies a year, but if we have one every year or two or three that is poking fun at those, then we can still enjoy the superhero movies that we love, but then we can still have something that undercuts those. Not necessarily undercuts, but at least, you know, puts us in our place.
Right, and it's honestly, it's I think a lot of the arguments about the superhero fatigue are a little bit of a fallacy of, because I think people look at it, like the people who are saying those things especially, like you hear that a lot from people who are not involved in these types of movies, or who are not involved in the better versions of these types of movies, you know, saying they're like, oh, that's a fad, it's gonna get too ubiquitous and people are gonna get sick of it. But if you look at the movies that Marvel has been consistently producing, you know, we've talked about this on the show before, they're not inherently superhero movies. I mean, they are, but, you know, you look at movies like, you know, Ant-Man was a bit of a heist movie. You know, you look at Guardians of the Galaxy was like a you know, ragtag team up, you know, prison break movie. You have Winter Soldier was a, you know, political intrigue movie. You have all these different genres that these movies really are, but then also happen to involve superheroes in the process. And that's the thing I think that will keep. And I think this movie also illustrates that Deadpool is a raucous R-rated comedy that happens to involve superheroes, and I think that that's sort of the differentiator here, is that, you know, this is the Judd Apatow superhero movie, essentially. Continue. Go ahead.
Well, no. Yeah, I was also going to say that that too. I think in the vein of superhero fatigue, that one of the things that makes this good about The Breakup is that it is a superhero movie that based on a character that has comedy built into itself, as opposed to a outside movie that's making fun of the superhero genre.
Right. And this is not the first touch of humor we've had in these types of movies. I mean, again, Guardians of the Galaxy was hilarious because those characters are funny characters, and they typically are in the comics as well. Like the movies, and same with Ant-Man. Ant-Man was really funny, had lots of good humor in it, and there's always some degrees of it. And I think as long as they know where to use it and how liberally to use it, like I have some hope and faith that with Marvel's, you know, Disney Marvel's involvement in helping Sony with the next Spider-Man reboot, that will be an important piece of that, because Spider-Man is often about humor, and that's something that's been missing from that franchise for a while.
That is just what I want to see. Spider-Man joking about Dutch ovens.
Well,
I didn't say
it's a different kind of humor.
Right. It's a different level of humor.
They've also said,
yeah, but at this point it'll be a rated R.
No, it won't.
They've also said with Spider-Man, they want to do a John Hughes coming-of-age style movie with a young Peter Parker, and it makes sense. It fits that character, you know.
Right. It can be the Ferris Bueller of superhero movies.
But this was the Ferris Bueller of superhero movies.
Well, we did definitely have that nod as well. That was a great end credit scene. That was hilarious. Well,
I mean, it's funny because I will say this before we talk about the end credit scene itself, is that it was fitting in the sense of Ferris Bueller's one of the most popular movies I could ever think of, where the character breaks the fourth wall.
Right.
He talks to the audience all the time in the movie. So it's like, oh, okay, that makes sense to me that they would use that, you know, as their after credit scene.
Right. It was an excellent nod.
Yes. So, you did stay for the after credit scene, right, John?
Mm-hmm. Actually, I was really surprised. A lot of people didn't.
Yeah. Yeah, when I was there, a lot of people did start getting up and walking out, and I felt sad for those people.
Yeah, me too, because it was their last chance to see something that might have been good.
You're just going to hate on this film no matter what. So you're telling
me... It's a stretch to call it a film.
Hey, Dave, I've been thinking. I wonder what it'd be like if superheroes were real and managed by the government.
Funny you should mention that, because our friends over at Outpouring Comics have a new book called Freedom Fighter that is all about the world's first government-owned and funded superhero.
Awesome. I'll have to check that out. I'd also imagine, if there wasn't oversight, superhero-like mutations could actually lead to a pretty bleak world.
Well, it seems some of the guys at Outpouring agree with you there, because they're also premiering a new book called Psychosis, which is all about a future where powered mutation leads to mass destruction of the human population and subjugation by an elite group of powered people and rich humans.
Wow, so how do I get my hands on these books?
That's the easy part. Both these books are available in digital format on drivethru.com and gumroad.com. And if you want to pre-order a physical copy, you can go to outpouringcomics.storymv.com to reserve your copy today. And while you're there, you can also check out Outpouring's other amazing titles. Hope you enjoy them.
Oh, you know I will.
Okay, those sound cool. But what if I want something else from my comics, like horror or monsters?
Well, that's easy, too. Outpouring features great comics like the award-winning Inheritance, and now they're bringing you the John Orlando collection from the 90s. Plus, if you love comedy and fun stuff, they're also doing Mac and Trouble from Rusty Gilligan. So, with all these great books and all these great things to choose from, you guys should be checking out Outpouring Comics. So head on over to outpouring.com today. So you're telling me there was nothing in this movie you liked? There was nothing you chuckled at? You didn't like any of the action? Nothing?
The female lead was okay.
I'll give you that. So did you have some sort of virus or stomach bug when you watched this movie, John? Or an ear infection?
I did afterwards.
Did you get into a fight with your wife right before you went to the theater?
Ooh, low blow.
Oh, low blow there, Dave.
Yeah, it could have used like more Marina, maybe a spaceship, maybe a dashing captain, and actually then that would have been a good movie.
Basically, you wanted Guardians of the Galaxy again, or Serenity.
I think
that would have worked.
I think it was missing an ending scene with a young female warrior climbing a mountain to hand an old mentor a lightsaber. Oh wait,
and then to stare at him for 5 full minutes. Panning back and forth between the two.
Actually, from something I saw today, she'll be staring at him for about 2 years because that's how they're going to open the next movie.
Really?
It's a long time to stand there.
That's very much the like steal the grasshopper type moment. Like
her arm is getting
trained something in that moment. She just doesn't know what.
So
there's a lesson there.
Well, she was trying to use her mind powers that whole time. Take it from me. Take it from my hand. What the heck?
You know, but actually, you know, because you brought up Marina, I have to say that too about this movie. I don't think any of the actors that were in it felt miscast at all. Do you guys agree with that?
I think they aligned things pretty well.
Yeah, it was phenomenal. And I thought, you know, and speaking of Marina, I thought there were a couple scenes between the two of them, Ryan Reynolds and her, that were actually poignant, which I was shocked that there could be any level of depth to it. But when she's with him and they're finding out about his cancer, I mean, you know, it's not like, you know, world altering, but I was impressed that they were able to put in a scene there that had an actual element of seriousness and depth to it in such a chaotic and insane movie.
Yeah.
And there were a couple scenes between the two of them that really had that feel. So I you know, John, and is that you snickering?
I was rooting for the cancer.
Oh, God.
Zach,
you knew the cancer wasn't going to win.
Well, Zach, you look at his face, you think it did.
Zach, admit it. You were just happy to see Ryan Reynolds' weeby in the movie. I just... Go ahead. You can admit it.
Well, of course. We're all a little curious about these things. I don't know. Half the time I was watching it before his procedure, I was like, is that me on screen? We're like twin brothers. I can't even tell. I didn't give them my rights.
Well, did you think Ryan Reynolds got by all this time on his acting chops? I mean, come on.
Oh, yes. Well, they had to fondle Pulverine's barbed scrotum.
Yep. Oh, man.
Gotta do what you gotta do, man.
Yes, no.
Can I say this? I think it was definitely the best Fox comic book movie. How does everyone else feel about it?
John, we don't need to hear from you.
I just want to hear
that. I was going to say that's an extremely low bar. I mean,
well, yeah, I agree. But
right. There were some decent X-Men movies in the past.
Yeah.
But still, yeah, I agree. I think this was probably the best, definitely the best Fox superhero movie ever. And definitely up there on the list of good superhero movies in general. All I have to say, though, is that if they make a sequel, I really want to see Dopinder come back.
I was going to say, and of course, the best character in the entire movie, next to Deadpool, was Dopinder.
Yes.
Dopinder was great. Well, you'll have to wait after his manslaughter charge, you know.
Yes. That was the cap to the piece to his wrist.
Oh my god, that should be the intro to the second movie. It should be Deadpool breaking him out of jail, and then it could be like a buddy cop. Oh, that'd be phenomenal.
Yes. That'd be awesome. I love that whole sequence with, like, you know, Colossus in the back. Like, Deadpool's like trying to, like, mockingly tell him, like, the right thing to do, but then also whispering to reinforcing, you know, what he's doing with the guy in the trunk. It's like, you go. It's awesome. It was great.
No, it was wrong that you did that. Kill him. Yes, that was wonderful. And of course, you know, John just made a joke about his appearance. That is one thing I will say this. They made, of course, everyone who knows, if you're not familiar with the Deadpool comics, the regenerative cells are so overactive that the cancer becomes aggressive, and that's what the reaction is, and he gets these tumors all over his body,
right?
Skin.
I think they were actually tame with that in the movie, because
I was going to say
the comics, he's looked a lot worse.
Yeah, exactly. He didn't look anywhere as bad as he does in the comics.
Yeah.
And when here's another one of my really big problems with this. When's the last time Deadpool ended up with his wife?
Well, yeah, they're going to have to find a way to sort of
kill her.
They're going to drop that. Like, they're going to conveniently, you know, that'll sort of become a footnote in the beginning of Deadpool 2. It was like, yeah, that didn't work out so well in the long run.
Or
something.
Or she will become her alter ego in the next
movie. That's true. She does have, there is canon to that.
Yes. She'll become Copycat in the next movie. So, I mean, it's always a possibility. You know, of course, she was involved, I think, wasn't she? She was involved with him killing Francis in the comics, but, you know, they'll brush over that, I think.
Yeah, just because, I mean, with Cable, it sounds like they are going to be including Cable, and I think, you know, it might just be too overstuffed to fit her in. They'll probably have a better budget next time around, though, so maybe they'll have that option. But
that's the thing, too, is that there's a storyline in the comics where she was hired to go kill Cable. So I'm wondering, see, now the thing is, right, Cable's a time traveler from the future.
He is?
So in the future, maybe Copycat tries to kill him, he comes back to the past, and maybe there's a whole story around that. Maybe Deadpool has to kill Vanessa by the end of the second movie.
Or maybe Fox will take a page from management and say, wow, we strangled their budget. And look what they did. So if we strangle it more, it'll really light a fighter under their ass.
Right. So they'll have to either work for free or get worse actors.
They'll have to pay to make the next movie.
Yes.
John.
What? I'm just telling it how I felt it. And boy, did I feel it when I was in the movie theater. Goosh.
Ryan Reynolds did in one of those scenes, too. He really felt it when National Women's Day.
Yes.
We all felt for him. My seat got uncomfortable.
Oh, that was good.
But at least he got to visit between the holidays.
Yeah, that was one long scene.
It was a mostly good scene, though.
Yes, except for National Women's Day.
For us. I'm sure there were some ladies in the audience who found that hilarious.
Yeah, that's true.
That would have only been a good scene if it were part of Eyes Wide Shut.
There was nothing good about Eyes Wide Shut. Nothing good. That was a horrible movie.
Well, compared to this one, though.
It was still a horrible, horrible movie. So there's nothing redeeming about that movie.
Out of curiosity, John, did you... Not John, sorry. Ben.
Yes?
Did you go with your wife to this movie?
I did not, unfortunately. Not because she wasn't interested. She would like to see it. But it was one of those things. We had a very packed weekend, and there wasn't really an opportunity for both of us to get out of the house together with the kids, and we just got a new puppy. So, you know,
congratulations.
Thank you, I guess. Anyway, so like I had this whole like I really want to go, but I don't want to go without you. She's like, go without me. Don't worry about it. And I felt a little bit guilty about it until she was like, you know, my nephew wants to go and he doesn't have anyone to go with. Why don't you just take him? I was like, all right, that's fine. That's I got a date now. As long as his mom's okay with me taking him, because I'm not going to mention his age on the air, but she was, and we both had an awesome time at the movie tavern.
You took a 5-year-old to see this movie? How dare you?
Are those sirens I hear in the background? I went with my wife. She loved it. She said it was one of her favorite comic book movies to date.
Well, yeah, because at the heart of it, it's a love story.
It is.
Yeah, and he told us, so it has to be.
It was definitely a good Valentine's movie.
Yes.
I have no doubt that my wife will eventually get to see it, and she will enjoy it as well.
Well, we all know what scene she'll enjoy.
It'll be the International Women's Day scene.
Yes. So, I'm trying to think. Okay, and then, of course, I have read a couple things online. They have been calling it the best Stan Lee cameo.
That was
I will admit that is probably the cameo he enjoyed the most out of all of them.
I'm sure he loved that one.
I mean, it was funny. I was a little shocked just because of the image he puts forward to he most people.
A pretty wholesome image, and that was well, but he's played the Playboy before, essentially. Like, he played the Hugh Hefner character.
Yes.
Iron Man
movie. And even in Guardians of the Galaxy, he was romancing two women.
Yep.
Right. And of course, he
was actually romancing, the Firefly captain's real life girlfriend at that point.
Right.
Was that actress.
But I will also point out, I've told this story on air before, but Zach hasn't heard it, so I'll tell it again. When I met Stan Lee a few years ago, we were at a convention and, you know, he came in, said hello, and then there were a couple girls. One of them happened to be my daughter and another girl that was helping out, and he walked over and he gave her a hug and he squeezed her butt. So
he was right where he belonged in this movie.
And, yes.
And she hasn't washed her butt since.
I've told her we have to bronze it, but you know. but that's just me. I know the kind of guy he really is.
a very decent and kind man.
Yes, exactly. So he was the DJ at the strip joint. which, you know, what I mean, come on, John, you had to have enjoyed that scene.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was the only break I had from actually watching Deadpool himself. I mean,
parts of him enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And come on, they broke the fourth wall inside a fourth wall. That's like,
it's like 16 walls.
Enough loops. They didn't, you know, that's another thing. He didn't break it at all, really. All he did was pull a Ferris Bueller. That was it. There was no reaching out to the side of the screen and pulling a gun out of nowhere. Come on. I mean, dude.
How about when
if you read the comic, and I did as I was tearing the pages out and packing around my DC, he did a lot of other things, you know, than just talking to the screen. They didn't do any of that. There is so much possibility there.
I disagree with that. He broke. Yes, that was the main way that he broke the fourth wall, is by talking to the audience. But he also broke the fourth wall by making references to the fact that they were in a movie, by making, you know, references to you know, the fact that they were in scenes to like effects to things like that by, you know, making the McAvoy Stewart joke. Those are the other ways that he broke the fourth wall.
How about when he was going to fight the recruiter and he goes and he looks at the camera and he goes, "You probably don't want to see this," and he pushes the camera so it faces the other way.
Right. And he wiped the gum on the screen on the camera and wiped it back off.
Yeah.
That was like at the very beginning.
I mean, short of
lame.
Short of the Spaceballs scene where they're fighting and someone on the crew gets hurt, yes, could it have used a little more fourth wall breaking? Of course, but they only had an hour and a half to work with.
This is true. That's the only flaw in it, really, is that it was not long enough.
Right.
It could have been longer.
But, you know, you can only do so much on a shoestring budget.
Yeah, that's true.
And that was another thing, like, I didn't realize this until I read a review, which was an interesting nod. The fight at the end of the movie took place on a destroyed helicarrier.
No, I don't. I've heard that. I don't know if I agree to that. That's true. Like, yes, it was some sort of carrier, but it could have just as well been an aircraft carrier, like a traditional aircraft carrier.
True.
There was no evidence.
Really? I thought I was, like, certain that it was a helicarrier, and it looked like, I'd have to see it again, because, damn it, yeah. I didn't get anyone to go with me a second time, but right. It looked like there were the turbines that the we turbines? Have seen. Yeah,
I don't remember seeing the turbines, and that's sort of what led me to doubt that claim, because I didn't hear that claim until after I saw it. If I'd seen it again, I would have looked for that. But in the one time I saw it, and not knowing about that ahead of time, I did not notice that there were any things like that on the side. As a matter of fact, I would have expected it to land differently if there were. Like, it did seem to land pretty cleanly along that one edge. So I think I assumed it was a regular just aircraft carrier.
And considering how deeply geeky we are, if we had seen turbines, I think if we would have seen we would have picked it right out. It would have been like, oh, that looks like an aircraft. Oh, there are turbines on it.
Although we have seen numerous helicarriers be destroyed along with turbines being destroyed. Like in Avengers, I think a couple turbines were taken out. So that very well could be the same helicarrier.
And I mean, I'm going to say it was. You know, you've seen one turbine, you've seen them all.
Right.
Like we're used to these things.
Right. I kind of felt like after I read that maybe that was a nod to say he's got one foot in the Avengers universe, even though he's owned by Fox. But
mm-hmm. Yeah,
we shall see.
Only one foot, because if the rest of them went in, they'd shoot to kill.
Oh.
Okay. You know, John, you're going to alienate all of our listeners.
Someone's got to.
Hey, all three of them.
I was going to say, all three of them are nice people. They wouldn't leave just because of this.
Right. Well, at least it's a welcome refresher from that being Dave's role.
Oh.
I keyed.
All right. So we all agree we want Dupender in the sequel. Yes. Definitely more fourth wall breaking.
Yeah. Some Cable. Some X-Force.
Oh, definitely Cable.
Yes. Maybe a real writer.
I mean, and by that I don't mean Ryan Reynolds Cable. I mean we don't need to lay some more Cable. We need to see your character.
Man, you're only showing... if the movie has to rely on that for a storyline, instead of a storyline...
Rely on Cable? Important foil to Deadpool? Do we have to rely on that? Or does it not fit?
I was spackensy of the humor, but you know what do I know? Apparently,
Zach, could your voice get any higher?
It's possible.
I tried, but it started. My throat started bleeding. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Now say poink.
I don't want to.
Anyway.
Yeah. Look, you're not going to convince me like this, because you just. You could have done better. Ryan Reynolds isn't coming back. Marina is the only one who knew what was going on in the film. There was too much potty humor. You were like, you start to enjoy yourself, and then all of a sudden you're looking at, you know, some you've accidentally hit the wrong link on the internet. It's just, yeah.
So you actually believe Ryan Reynolds isn't coming back?
Ryan Reynolds will be back.
The last interview I heard, he said he was never doing another movie after this. Another superhero movie after this.
And when was this?
This is months ago.
Well, all the press I've seen with him lately promoting the movie, he's been very open, you know, very much promoting that he's, you know, very happy the way it's going and wants to do more. So I think he's changed his tune.
Oh, anybody who's married to Blake Lively is always going to have a smile on his face, for Christ's sake. There's nothing to do with this movie, sure.
Okay, then.
Oh, my God. You know, John, you need some joy in your life.
I have joy. It's called Leroux Blackberry Flavored Brandy. It's right next to the microphone here.
Nothing chases away.
But kids, don't drink unless your parents aren't looking.
Oh. We do not promote underage drinking on this show, just to be clear.
Yes. And nothing chases the blues away like a depressant.
Yes, we don't condone drinking. We do find it hilarious, but we don't condone it.
So anyway, while we were discussing this, I did do some research.
Here it is, by the way. Ryan Reynolds won't be playing any more superheroes after Deadpool.
After Deadpool. See, yeah, it's already tripped up. So he's Deadpool. Going to play only Deadpool for the rest of his life.
Hopefully, just like Hugh Jackman. Yeah, yeah. No, he's not.
Right. Hugh Jackman isn't going to play anyone but Wolverine.
Right. The old man Logan.
Robert Downey Jr. isn't going to play anyone but Tony Stark. Like, yes, that's what that means.
Yeah. So, by the way, I did do some research, and when it comes to the R-rated comic adaptations, nothing matches Deadpool's performance, both in ratings or in domestic gross. Like, even so far, I sent you guys the link. So far, the estimated domestic gross for Deadpool is $150 million. The only other R-rated comic book adaptation that's exceeded that is The 300, and that was over the life of the film, and that's... We are far from the end of days on Deadpool's raking in money yet.
End of Days was a different movie.
By the way, here's the quote. The actor told HuffPost Live that this will be his last ride as a comic book leading man.
Okay. And I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah, July of 2015.
And you know who else has said that before?
Who?
Chris freaking Evans.
Yes, he said he wasn't.
A decade ago.
Yes.
And he'd already signed the contract with Marvel, though. You know, he signed those in blood, right?
He said that after the flop of the second Fantastic Four. He reluctantly signed on to do Captain America. He was planning on quitting cinema altogether after the flop of Fantastic Four 2.
Oh, that was after the flop. Ron Runs was saying that before this movie even came out. And who wouldn't want to kill themselves after the Fantastic Four, for crying out loud?
Yes, and of course we all should believe everything the Huffington Post prints. Yep.
They sound like reporters.
I know. They try really hard.
This is him saying it specifically. There's video, damn it. So don't blame it on the reporters.
It's amazing what you can do with special effects these days, John.
Yes. You can make it believe there's a guy made of metal walking around, and you can try to punch him in the nuts and break your hand. You know, it's
and the other really hand, cool. And one yeah, and feet,
and then a foot,
and then a foot.
Yeah. Oh God, that was a painful.
Oh my God, that was hilarious. Scene was amazing.
Did you hear about the one-legged man and the ass kicking contest? I mean, come on.
God, it was so painful. I've never seen so many people cringe at the same time. It was like. Guy was
I've
like,
never seen so many people laugh at the same time. I think you were at the wrong theater.
Were you with a bunch of the Mormons? Ritz 5?
Like, where were you?
The Mormons.
saw this movie in Salt Lake City, and no one wanted to enjoy it there. So now it all makes sense.
Are you sure you didn't accidentally go to a rescreening of X-Men Origins Wolverine?
No. I went to a movie tavern. I mean, granted, it was Seniors Day, but you know.
Oh, I would pay double to see that movie with a room full of seniors. That would be phenomenal.
That would be hilarious. And I bet they'd be laughing just as loud.
Well, yes. The problem was it was a movie tavern. They were serving food. And, ugh, God. I had to run to the bathroom so many times. I should honestly, not have eaten while watching that movie.
I went to the movie tavern as well, and I ate and I drank, and I had to pee for more than half of that movie, and I was not leaving my seat.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, you know what? That's what I was missing. You said you were drinking. I should have brought my flask with me. That's what I was missing. That would have made the movie better after I passed out.
You can get alcoholic drinks there. They serve them.
I'm not going to pay. Jesus. You know, you pay like freaking $5 for a Raisinette for crying out. I'm not. There's no way. I bring my own flask. You think I drink? Okay. They probably water their stuff down anyway.
So remember, everyone, send your complaints to John at SuperheroSpeak.com.
I think we should set up an alias of complaints at superhero.com and have it redirect to John.
Oh, I will address those. Oh, I will. Yes, it will be done.
So again, we're all at a loss, John. I mean, obviously you saw a different movie than us.
I saw or the same some movie. Some sort
of just duress at the time.
Did you go with anyone?
No.
Oh, maybe that's the problem.
Why? What difference does that make? Why would I haunt somebody else's life for that?
If you're with someone who can appreciate the humor of it, it amplifies it. Like I said, I was there with my nephew, and he was laughing out loud at every single one of these jokes, and it drew me into it. Like if there was any chance of me like not buying into it, it was lost the minute that he was sitting next to me.
Yeah, but like, Ben, 4-year olds like potty humor.
I know, which is why you have to bring one to see this movie.
He's younger than the last time. Is your nephew Benjamin Button? He's somehow descending in age.
But Ben, newborns love those kinds of movies. Especially the part where they forget about object permanence. But, you know.
You know, John, I will say this. I went to the movie, and a woman came in, had the seats next to me, with her, I would say he's about 8 or 9 years old, son, who I will say he was sat there and he was quiet and laughed and enjoyed the movie, and had like a 3-year-old daughter with them, who...
That is a poor choice, I think.
Were they carrying their Parent of the Year award as well? did they have a seat just for that giant trophy? That was just a big F you to a child. It's like parents holding their middle finger up to their child.
Yeah, sadly, the woman probably worked for child services.
Yeah. These weren't even her kids. These were the ones she picked up that day.
Yes, exactly. She was on her way back.
For child services?
Okay, hold on, I'm not finished yet. So, of course, at the Grant, you have to, in a lot of theaters now in our area, you have to buy your seats and then pick your seats when you buy it. Mm-hmm. She only bought 2 seats. So she had her daughter sitting in the seat with her. That only lasted, you know, through the first 2 previews. And then the kid just wanted to run around. So she gave her the phone to play games on the phone and didn't turn the volume off.
But how did you enjoy this movie?
But even with all that, I still enjoyed this movie.
Actually, I think that is exactly why. That is why you enjoyed the movie. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off, Zach.
No. I'm just saying, if you can enjoy a movie through those circumstances, ones that would induce utter rage within me, a burning fire, then you know that it's a flop.
I'm sorry. I just dropped. Okay. But I watched the movie and I was filled with a burning rage too. I mean, I don't understand. I didn't have a kid.
You should see a doctor about that. That's a different kind of burning.
Well, there was a little bit of that too, but you know, I went to the bathroom and took care of that.
Right.
And came back just in time for the bondage scene. Oh,
that's perfect timing. So I guess. Maybe so. Should we do our reviews, Dave?
Yes.
Or are there other things you want to touch on?
No, I think we covered everything. I mean, you know, other than no, I mean, I don't think we missed anything.
Yeah, we don't need to beat a dead stripper.
No.
Deadpool
might, but we won't. There are not enough Chimichanga references. All right.
No, all right. I'll give you that. There were not enough Chimichanga references.
Yes.
As a fact, The movie tavern dropped the ball there. My nephew noticed that right away. It was like, why is there not, like, they had a special drink menu for Deadpool, like Deadpool promotional drink menu. He's like, why do they not have chimichangas?
Exactly. There you go. All right. So let's go around the room. We'll all give a quick review, a rating of 1 through 10 capes, and 10 being good, 1 being bad. And then real quick, what you hope to see in the sequel. And we'll start with Zach.
All right. Well, I think I have to give it 10 capes because I don't think it's the best superhero movie I've seen, but it is the most self-aware superhero movie I've seen, I would say. And it's up close to the top of the best superhero movies, and it did what it was supposed to do so well, and it knew what it was supposed to do so well that I can't find any complaints about it. So I can't just give it a 9 arbitrarily. I have to give it a 10, and I can't wait to see it again.
All right, cool. And hopes for the sequel?
Hopes for the sequel. That is a solid question. I mean, we know Cable's going to be in it. I guess some wacky time travel adventures, although I assume Cable will be coming back from the future to romp around with Deadpool. I don't know. I mean, I guess I don't know enough about the character's story with Cable to really have any idea what is coming there. So thank you for making me go first on that front. And I'm totally trying to bullshit as much as I can. And I'm saying words are coming out of my mouth, words that have nothing to do with this film anymore.
You could have just said more boobs. Words. I mean,
yo, yeah, that's it. That's it. More boobs. That's it.
Okay, good.
Sequel. Thank you.
More boobs and more guns. Okay. Ben?
I'm going to go high on this. I'm going to go 9.8.
Ooh.
And the only deficit I'm giving it is for what you pointed out. I think it needed more chimichangas. I have a minus 0.2 for lack of chimichangas. But otherwise, it was solid, 100%. I loved it all the way. It was a great ride. I thought the casting was perfect. The storytelling was great. The jokes were perfect. You know, I have no other complaints about this at all. As far as you know, hopes for the sequel, hopefully some other interesting pair ups with other mutants besides Cable, definitely Cable, but you know, maybe some direction towards X-Force or things like that. Maybe some other nods at some of the things that maybe they'll make a little bit of fun of Age of Apocalypse by the time that comes out. And yeah, more guns and boobs. And that's about it.
And only because I'm obligated, because you're one of the hosts, John.
Well,
great opinion, John. Thanks.
Awesome. Okay. I love anchoring these things. I can't give it any capes because Deadpool doesn't wear them.
So
I'm going to give it one Michael Jackson crotch grab, and my wish for the future is that maybe they'll raise the bar by putting a Wonder Woman cameo in it. There you go.
Again, send all your complaints to John at superherospeak.com. Okay.
It's a good thing we don't average these out for the episode.
All right, sorry, I'm done. I mean, that was my dog. Michael Jackson, the dog. It's a bit on the nose, I realize, but I mean, I lost my
connection.
I did. I was handcuffed.
Hey, John, in lieu of capes, how many mouth stitches would you give this movie?
All the mouth stitches.
All right, my turn. So I'm going to agree with Ben's rating with a 9.8. You know, I just don't do 10 because it wasn't perfect. Again, could have used more more humor. There is actually one thing I was kind of hoping we would have gotten in the movie that you can't really do because it's a visual medium as opposed to a comic book. In the sec, when you curse in a comic book, what do? They don't write the curse word. They write all the symbols. If they could have somehow incorporated that. I was looking for a joke like that in the movie, but
yeah, but in a sense, that's been done before. Like that was one of the jokes they did in Scott Pilgrim with the one character who kept cursing all the time, and they blocked over her mouth and bleeped. And they made that like a fourth wall breaking gag because Scott Pilgrim asked how she did that with her mouth.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about Scott Pilgrim. All right. So, all right, fine. I'll leave that go. More chimichangas, you know, definitely, you know, maybe John's right. Could have used a little more fourth wall breaking. But yeah, no, solid 9.8. And for the future, what I'm kind of hoping is when they bring Cable in, they can bring in a good actor, a good solid actor.
Yeah. Who
can be the straight man to Deadpool's craziness, the odd couple pairing that we're hoping to get, from this, you know, the guy.
Yeah, well, it is Fox, so it'll probably be something like Morgan Freeman.
Well, that'd make one good actor, at least, in the movie.
Anyway, so yes, a good odd couple buddy team up type of movie, you know, and like I said, I kind of hope Vanessa does get her powers and maybe that plays into the storyline of the movie. That would be kind of cool to see. And of course, as always, more boobies and more guns. But yes,
that's good advice in life in general.
Yes. So if you haven't seen the movie and you've gotten this far in the episode, bless
you. There's something wrong with you. Seriously. Yes.
And to just go out and see it. It's great. Do not listen to John. He has issues. Any final
thoughts? I told you, I tore all the issues up and used them as packing material. Don't you listen to me? I don't have any issues at all.
Well, this is a guy who thinks, you know, the Green Lantern movie was good. So, anyone have any final thoughts besides John?
If you want a John O'Grady free superhero or Deadpool review, go to superherooverload.com and watch mine.
Yes, definitely make sure you head over to YouTube and subscribe to Superhero Overload.
Yes, subscribe is the operative word, please. Yes. I want to hit triple digits.
Thank you, Michael Jackson.
Come on.
You could also let him learn you stuff.
Yes.
You could do that too, but that one, we'll let that one grow on its own because it's too much work and I don't want to do it anymore. Just kidding.
Yes, let it grow like a moss.
Yes. Like my self-loathing.
You do know this means, Zach, that the next episode of Superhero Overload has to be an all Michael Jackson episode.
Oh, I guess it does. By the law.
Yes.
The letter of the law. Okay, I'm gonna have the drawing board right now. Right.
So you have to channel your inner Joseph Fiennes, and you will
pick that up. Well, on that note, I think that is the place to put a pin in it for this week, boys and girls. So as always, don't let your cape get caught in the door. Have a good week.